The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Broadcasting from the KCNR studio, sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, here is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Streaming live at KCNRradio.com. That's right, you can listen to us all over the world, or you can back in Indiana or Iowa, wherever the Senior Opens is. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But good morning, everybody. The news good top morning. Of the hour is always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, Shasta Regional Medical Center. Ben is here. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Did you enjoy your weekend?
Yeah, it was
yeah.
a good weekend.
Yeah.
Work.
You know, Ben is never...
You never hear like,
wow, yes.
Yeah.
I went out with Miss Sweden this weekend. She came in and, gosh, took me away for the whole weekend. Went to see the World's Cup. She paid for everything. She had a private jet. Ben, come in with a story like that once.
Okay.
We have a national day.
It's National Social Media Day. Cool. I feel like that's like every day.
Yeah. I mean, that has to be recognized.
Okay. I guess.
How about National Let's Limit Social Media Day? Now, that's news.
There we go. It's National Meteor Watch Day also.
Meteor. Hmm. Have we ever seen... we've seen a lot of flying space junk when we're up in Cedarville or on Shasta Lake.
We've seen comets going by.
Yeah. But I don't know if it's been a meteor. But you people have
meteor and comments.
We've seen a meteor rise, and we're going to be our guest is on a meteor rise, so we're going to be talking about that. That's a good segue. But first, let's get to the weather. It's going to be sunny today with a high 95. I love our segues, don't you? Overnight lows is 63. Wednesday's calling for a high of 94. What a beautiful 4th of July. It was very odd coming into work today because they say a lot of people take off the 4th of July week, but driving by the courthouse and the jail and all the places we live close by, it just felt like the streets were more vacant than usual. So maybe there is something to be said about this holiday week. So tomorrow is 94, overnight lows is 64, beautiful weather ahead of us on Thursday with 91, Friday 96, and on Independence Day we're at 101. So we're going to be talking about more of the 4th of July and the 3rd of July events that are coming up. The weather and our forecast is always brought to you by Gas Propane in Anderson, a locally owned, a veteran-owned business. 365-3793, always bringing you seniors and veterans discounts.
Okay, before we get to our guests.
Senior and veterans.
Reading Police Chief Brian Barner is retiring. Today.
Yeah.
This is his last day, and Brian had a 34-year career with the Reading Police Department.
Nice guy.
Beginning as a police cadet in the early 1990s.
Yeah.
And we've had him on the show several times.
Yeah.
And,
gonna miss that guy.
Yeah. And nice guy. The city is now in the search for a new police chief.
Right.
I say a search, there.
Could be in-house, could be
in-house.
Out of the area, recruit, we'll see.
The kind of guy Barner is. He said he is extremely grateful that no Reading police officers were killed or seriously injured in the line of duty during his tenure. That's, that is good. I mean, police are always getting injured. And you don't read anything about it because, it's things like they're arresting somebody. And one of the things that a variety of police chiefs have been through here is that people have, the last few years have a tendency to fight more. Instead of, okay, I'm arrested. They fight teenagers, kids, older people.
They don't respect authority.
And they will, they arrest them, but then there's injuries to the police officers.
Yes.
And, one police officer had his knee almost destroyed by a 16-year-old. And you don't hear about those, but then you've lost that police officer for several months.
Mm-hmm.
And but that is something to be proud of, that none of his police, because they are doing their jobs out there And nobody was killed or seriously injured, plus the other things that Ryan brought to the job.
Okay. A little side note yesterday, quickly, had lunch with some girlfriends, and one of them bought a dinner at one of those great big dinners they do at Turtle Bay Auction. And it was a wild game feed, and it was at somebody's ranch. And it would have been an unusual fit for her to do something like that. But she said it was the most elegant, beautiful night. And Brian Barner, all of the wild game, was his kill. And he was there. Yeah. So it was all his stuff. And we know that he's an avid hunter. And the first thing we said to him when he was on last, what are you going to do when you retire? He goes, I'm going to have my horse trailer hooked up. And I'm on my way out. Man, I'm already got like tags.
He's not forever. Not forever.
No, he's got tags. He's ready to go hunting. He said, I've, you know.
Going up to Wyoming.
God bless. And he was just talked about in the kindest way, with a table of four women yesterday. So that's just a compliment out there to the universe. We need to say that.
Okay. And complimenting somebody else is Dan Scott. Good morning, buddy.
Thank you. Good morning. I want to say congratulations to Brian as well. Brian and I go all the way back to the high school days. We went to high school together.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's been around for a long time, and he's served our community well. So congratulations, Brian.
Yeah, 34
years. Well, you know a lot of guys.
You've lived here for a long time.
I grew up here.
I didn't know that, Dan.
Let's talk about Dan Scott. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, so I moved here in 1982 from the Midwest, actually. I came from Iowa. Where a big contingent of my family still is. So I came out here in 82, which was 5 years old at the time. And so I started going to school.
Do you know what brought your parents out here to Reading?
Grandparents. Grandparents lived here.
Oh, okay.
Yep. My grandfather was big into the he worked for Caterpillar Tractor.
Oh, okay.
Years ago. So he was a mechanic and worked out here, built his own homes out in Shasta Lake City, and so my mom was just trying to get closer to her parents. And
okay.
So that's what brought me out, and, you know, coming from the Midwest to here was definitely a change, but Reading back in 82 was a completely different town, obviously. You know,
yeah.
Things have evolved and things have grown, and it's just an entirely
different place. Hilltop a road then? Was it a paved road then?
Hilltop was a road then.
Okay.
Yep.
Because I'm not sure when they paved it, because we've had people come in here, oh, no, I remember Hilltop. It was, you know, a dirt trail out there.
Right. Yeah. No, I came in after that. Lake Boulevard there was no center divide at Lake Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
You know, there was up on Lake Boulevard also, there was a bowling alley up there. And so there's been quite a few changes, obviously, before Sundial Bridge. And there's a lot of change that I've seen happen in Reading. I moved away for 10 years, but, yeah, I've been here since 82. So
All right. Local
guy, I love it here. And, yes.
You came back.
Yeah, I did. I came back and love running a business here to support the community.
And that's why we brought Dan on, of course, is Eagle Eye Painting.
Yeah.
And he painted our house years ago.
And the station.
And people come in, and they look at it, and they really like it.
Yeah.
You know,
through grad school then.
I was, yeah.
Yeah.
I wound up getting my MBA.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it was a busy time in life.
Yeah, you were having a baby on the way, going through grad school and painting our station.
And remodeling my home.
Didn't forget about that part.
All right. What got you into painting?
You know, in college. So out of high school, I actually wasn't sure I wanted to go to college. And so here in Reading, up on Caterpillar Road again, I started painting for a company, started painting metal for a company that was building generators for our government. And so once I got back into school, realized I wanted to go to college, I wound up going to UC, I got a scholarship to UC Davis for golf. And when I moved down to Davis, I needed to work during the summers. And so painting was something that my dad did and something that was interesting to me. So I decided to try it out and went to work for a company called Student Works Painting back then. It was where students would go around during the summer, get contracts, and try to paint homes.
Ooh, that sounds cool. Do they still do that?
I'm not sure if the organization – they've changed names multiple times.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of a nice –
went from Student Works to College Works.
Yeah.
And it was a really nice
– a nice project if somebody says, hey, you know what, I know it's not going to be perfect, but do my room, and they get the practice. They get – it's like you just can't go out and sing a song perfectly. You have to just mess up in order to make it good. I equate everything to music, so.
Absolutely. No, I went out on my first project and absolutely butchered somebody's window. I mean, there was paint all over the window and the glass, and I had no idea what I was doing. And it was in Sacramento.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, that was how I got my start in painting. And the organization management was difficult because we didn't know what we were doing. So I wound up meeting another gentleman down in Davis who was a professional painting contractor, and he decided to give me an opportunity.
Nice. You got mentored.
I got mentored. Yep. His name was Jeremy Brooks. Brooks Painting down in Davis was where I got my start in the professional contracting world. And I painted for him through the summers. He actually asked, he goes, can you spray? And I said, yeah. And sprayers, you know, they poke up a pump and they start spraying houses. And he goes, can you spray? And I said, yeah. And so he watched me, and I was used to spraying metal. So I grabbed the gun and I start spraying, and it's going everywhere. And he goes, we're not spraying metal here, buddy. We're spraying wood. So he taught me how to get closer to the wood and how to back roll and all that stuff.
Wow.
Within 2 months, he put me on a project to lead an entire apartment complex. Put me with a couple employees and said.
Well, that's kind of a big deal to come in and blow out apartments, right?
It was tough. Yeah. It was tough. I mean, there's, you know, tenants are there and cars are there and all that stuff. So it was a big responsibility. I think he trusted me because I was going to the Davis at the time. I was playing golf for the team, and he knew that
I had
a level of responsibility that could probably handle that job.
Okay, wait.
I know we're over time.
We have to take a quick break here. Keep those questions there. Just hold on to them. Write them down. And we're going to take our first break. We'll be right back.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Turtle Bay's glowing wild and illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival is back and better than ever for 2026 at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with larger-than-life displays of plants and animals from around the world,
including dinosaurs and icons from ancient Egypt.
Jump on the new Turtle Express for a fun ride through the show.
Glowing Wild is May 1st through June 28th, 7 to 10 p.m. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
Looking for work? O2 Employment Services has been working with local job seekers for the past 20 years. If you're tired of uploading your resume and getting no response, it's time to let O2 help you find that perfect position. Oh, and by the way, you pay absolutely nothing for our service. If you'd like our help, head on over to our website at o2es.com, click apply now, and complete our online application. We have connections with over 600 local businesses. Once we have your information and understand what you're looking for, we can introduce you to all the positions you may wish to consider. We currently have over 100 available positions, and we would love to match you with the one you're looking for. O2 Employment Services, the North State's leading staffing agency. Give us a call at 530-223-4674. That's 530-223-4674. Or visit us online at o2es.com.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Every drive tells a story. Morning commutes, weekend getaways, road trips that stretch for miles. That's why you need Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. At Quick and Clean Car Wash, you'll receive a detailed hand scrub pre-clean, a gentle soft cloth wash, and a personal towel dry brings out a smooth, polished shine. Fast, affordable, starting at only $12. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market Street and Eureka Way in downtown Reading.
Since 2019, Organic Pilates has been helping Reading build stronger bodies, not just for summer, but every season of life. Experience matters. We don't teach exercises. We teach to the body in front of us. The best way to start is with our $99 new student intro. One semi-private session, two group reformer classes, and an infrared sauna session. Visit us downtown with free parking. We're right in between curated and theory coffee. Your Pilates story starts here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Gosh, it's 66 degrees going up to, what was it, 98
Oh my gosh,
today?
We're going to have about 95. Not bad.
95
You know, I
today.
Always figure under, under triple digit, not bad.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, our guest is Dan Scott, owner.
Eagle Eye.
Owner of Eagle Eye Painting. He's a local guy, left for a while, came back. We were talking about how he started in college. Not really. It was kind of like a student painting group that would go around and you kind of started, you know, learning the trade. Then they, hired you and, was kind of your mentor and put you in charge of jobs and all that. And then, after that, did you decide to come back here then, or did you open your own place down there, or what?
No, so that was in 2001. I would paint and perform through summers as I was playing golf at Davis.
Yeah.
And then out of college, I didn't want anything else to do with painting. I was done. I was ready to go into the professional world and be a banker, and then I was going to, you know, but golf and, you know, banking and all that stuff I thought went hand in hand, you know. So I had no intention of going
golf
back.
Golf and banking.
Why not?
Yeah. Okay.
So I thought that was what my path was going
to
be.
Bring your customers out to the golf course.
Well, you know, sure. I have a girlfriend sidebar. Her husband's involved with banking, and they give him a club membership, and he goes out twice a week and plays.
Right.
And that's all about, you know, what happens on the golf course.
Yeah, you network on the golf course, and you potentially find people to give loans to or whatever that is. So I just thought it was kind of a good fit to come out of college. After I went touring for golf, I came back and worked for a bank. And when I was working for them, I had kind of a transition, a fork in the road, as you want to call it. They offered me a promotion to become a business banker and kind of move up the ladder that way. Or my old boss, who I worked for through college, approached me and says, hey, you can sell ice to an Eskimo. I want you to come help run my company. And I said, well, let's talk dollars and cents. And at that time, he made me a very, very good offer. It was the dollars made a lot of sense to go with him. So I came on and helped him grow his company. He started with 12 painters when I started with him, and by the time I was finished with him 3.5 years later, we had grown to 24 painters.
Man.
And more than double our revenues.
In Davis?
In Davis.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
then what got you up here, Dan?
Well, I left him, and one of my agreements, it was just a handshake agreement. We didn't sign any paperwork back then. It was just a handshake, and I told him, I said, if we ever part ways, I'll never compete against you. And so with that being said, I held true to my word, and I didn't compete
came
against
home.
Him. I came home. I
okay.
came back to Reading, and in 2008, I started my company here. And you know, 2008 was a very challenging time in business in general.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah, that's when we started the station.
Yeah.
That was a bright idea.
Yeah, I mean,
our side.
we met right about when we were both starting out here in town.
That's right. We did.
Yeah, and it was interesting times, you know, trying to get contracts or anything. You know, the economy was in a terrible place. The crash had just happened, and real estate was down, and that's, you know, what kind of drives painting or you know, business is thriving is what drives revenue to you guys. And so, right, I mean, it was a tough time. So I got back into paintbrush and just started painting and was hopeful that things would work out. And it was tough. And so really what kind of kick-started my growth here was in 2009, I wound up winning the Red Bluff Pro-Am down at Wilcox Oaks in Red Bluff. And I got some publicity as a result of that. I got in the paper. I got in the news. And
what year was that?
2009.
Okay.
So I was here about a year. And in 2009, I won that tournament. You know, people started coming up to me going, hey, where's your next tournament? You know, when are you going on tour again? They thought I was just playing professional golf. And I said, no, I'm you know, golf. I don't have time to play professional golf. I'm here to focus on growing my painting company. And so because of that, I started getting more opportunities. And the more opportunities turned into more jobs, and more jobs turned into more word of mouth, and more word of mouth turned into 2026. I'm still here. So,
and you've expanded.
I have expanded. Yeah,
yeah.
We now cover all of you know, Shasta County, and we're moving down into the Chico area as well.
Okay.
So yeah.
Eagle Eye came and painted our house and painted the studios here. And if you want to see kind of work he does, you can drive by the house, but you can come in here and look at our studios. And, I mean, we get lots of comments. People haven't been here before.
Yeah.
How good it looks and it's maintained perfectly.
Well, I love hearing that.
Well, it's true. The paint industry is, I mean, do you, it seems like when you look at maybe fly-by-nights, that there's groups out there that, oh, I'll pinch your house for this. And they're here, then they're gone.
Right.
I mean, is that my imagination or is, or?
No, that's been the, you know, we always run into those guys for 26 years doing this. There's always the fly-by-nights. And I think the thing that, you know, those guys, the reason they don't maybe stay in business or stick around, the success rate of business in general is very low, right?
Yeah,
to be a self-employed person, the success rate's extremely low.
Would they say the average business fails in 5 years or something like that?
Yeah, so that's kind of the threshold. If you make it past 5 years, you're probably going to stick around. I think, you know, when I came up here in 2008, my goal was to take care of my customers, take care of my employees, and answer your phone, right? A lot of people don't answer the phone, and I can't quite understand that. You know, there's times when it's not the most pleasant conversation. I'm sure everybody's had those, right? When maybe something goes wrong, and you just have to address it, and you have to, you know, and you have to admit when you're wrong, and you have to take ownership and fix it, you know, and sometimes that means that, you know, you're not as profitable as you like to be or whatever that may be, but, you know, taking care of people is the number one priority. I mean, if we don't take care of people as contractors or business owners or whatever it is, then you're not going to be around long. And I think that's where a lot of people kind of, especially the fly-by-nights, right? Something goes wrong and they you never hear from them again. And I hear that a lot, and I don't quite understand why that is. It's definitely not my mantra, but
well, you hear that in a number of businesses, contractors and stuff like this. The contract, you know, somebody will get a contractor. And they're there for the first part, and then they just kind of disappear.
Right.
And you're trying to figure out when you're coming back.
Yeah, right.
So do you have problem? Is paint industry, because the makeup of the paint's under fire or anything, or they pretty much leveled that out?
As far as?
The paint itself.
Oh, the paint, yeah.
Yeah, I know that it was oil-based, and they went away from that.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Lead-based a long time ago.
Right.
So, I mean, do they have, I mean, is it? All has to be EPA approved, I imagine.
It does, yeah. The EPA is very involved. You know, I've been in the industry long enough now to see a transition kind of from lead was before my time, but
yeah.
I saw
yeah.
a lot of, still we had to check for lead when I first started, and there was a lot of oil-based, and transitioning from oil-based products to water-based products was a challenge, and quite honestly, originally the water-based products just weren't as good. They didn't hold up as long. They didn't harden as well. We weren't as washable, all that kind of stuff. But over the years, you know, technology's improved, and the waterborne products now are very, very good. They have good UV resistance. They have good adhesion, you know. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, so I called Dan Scott up, and I say, hey, I want you to take a look at my house to paint. What do I expect then?
Yeah, so I show up. I give a free estimate. I come out. I measure your house. I like to look at every job. Some people give a price over the phone. I like to inspect a job because every house is a little bit different, and the prep work is different. And the prep work is really kind of, you know, you ask what sets us apart, and I'd say the prep work and making sure that everything's going to hold up over the long term is what we look at.
Because this is a harsh environment up here.
It's very harsh, yeah.
The sun.
I mean, there's no miracle product that's going to last 30 years up here. I mean, I try to tell people, imagine standing outside 24/7. And see how your skin holds up, right? So it's
yeah. And then I know for us, you know, when we had you paint, we went with a darker color, and then of course we have redwood, even though we've tried to do something, so it breaks, it cracks, and it's facing. You know, you've got 110. You figure it bakes, so it fades, but then it cracks. So, you know, sure you'll give us a secret on how we do that, because I can always just go out and brush it. You know, because otherwise every year it seems like you have to do something. But so that's what's great about having an expert paint company come and,
yeah,
and be able
life.
To help you, tell you what to do.
Because.
Or fix it for you.
What we have found that when we call Dan.
Comes right
will,
over.
Will come over and look at it and, you know, and help us.
Yeah.
And that's after he painted the house
right.
a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that it's that kind of customer service that. We appreciate.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I definitely stand by my work, and if something fails, I definitely want to see why it failed and try to assess what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, sometimes there's hidden causes as well, you know. Redwood has a lot of tannins, and tannins are things that bleed through the wood, and that can, you know, from the underneath can come through a surface and make the paint fail. So, I mean, that's why a lot of failure happens is from contaminants or hidden things in the surface itself. You know, so
redwood,
yeah.
Okay, we're here with Dan Scott from Eagle Eye Painting. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry.
Located at 2225 Hilltop Drive for all your jewelry needs. I've actually been thinking about them lately because, you know, as we do outside maintenance or work, like we're talking about with, I don't know, outside furniture, whatever, you're wearing your rings, you're banging things around, or you're hitting your watches. So, you know, they're the only full service watch repair. They'll fix the prongs in your jewelry. If you have estate pieces that you've inherited and you want to figure out for insurance purposes, what they're worth, et cetera, Four Winds Jewelry is your place to go. Best in the North State for 4 years. We've been going to them since we have been married, and they did our wedding rings 20 years ago. Located at 2225 Hilltop Drive.
We'll be right back.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all others. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com. Premier Oil Change is celebrating 20 years of our friendly oil changes. A lot has changed in 20 years, but our commitment to fast, friendly, excellent service has remained the same. To celebrate our 20th birthday, we're offering $20 off any oil change. All you have to do is go to our website at PremierOilChange.com and receive your gift. In Reading, check out our new location at 905 East Cypress. Discount also available at our Lake Boulevard, Anderson, and Palisadro location.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
The future is here at Turtle Bay Museum with Popnology, an immersive and interactive experience by Stage 9 Exhibitions that brings science fiction and science fact together like never before. Step up to an exact replica of the DeLorean time machine. Compare 1980s technology to today's smartphones. Discover the story behind the Mars rover and much more. Perfect for all ages. On exhibit now at Turtle Bay Museum. Discover this and more at turtlebay.org.
Stay cool this summer with a new qualified AC system from Alliance. If your current AC is struggling to keep up, now is the perfect time to upgrade. With payments starting at just $114 a month, comfort may be more affordable than you think. Don't wait until the summer heat is already here. Call Alliance today at 2212-642. Again, 2212-642. Alliance Heating and Air. Everybody calls us.
Charlie's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlie's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
The only real estate agent I trust right here in Redding and Shasta County is Josh Barker with Josh Barker Real Estate. Now, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Sean.
And what are some of the biggest challenges that you have had with sellers when it comes to determining the right price for their home?
Well, that's a good question. We get it a lot, actually. And I can tell you that every owner, including me when I'm selling something, we always want more than it's worth. And I think most people know that. So I think what it is really taking the time to sit down and thoughtfully go through the comparables that are similar to yours that have sold recently and do the very best you can to be realistic. If I was a buyer in today's market and I was viewing three or four homes that are similar, which one would stand out to have the most features and benefits for the price?
All right. Thanks for keeping us up to date. Talk to the only agent in town I recommend. Go online to reddinghomes.com. That's Redding, R-E-D-D-I-N-G, homes.com, or just Google Josh Barker.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Streaming live at kcnrradio.com. Our guest today is Dan Scott from Eagle Eye Painting. And we've known Dan since like 2008 or 2009.
Well, we met him on the golf course.
Met him on the golf course, and that's where we're going to talk golf because you've been hearing comments about golf in here. Had a golf scholarship.
Yep.
To UC
Davis.
UC Davis.
How wonderful.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it handles things out. So.
Did your parents play?
Grandfather did.
Is that okay. How you, like?
That's how I got into it.
Did you get bit by him? Were you hanging out? Were you a caddy? What happened? When you started to go, like, I'm going to golf.
I just wanted to spend more time with him, and he loved to golf. And so I was 10 years old, and he said, hey, let's go golfing. I said, okay, I'll try that out. Why not? I love playing sports. I played every sport there was, right? And he goes, well, let's try going golfing. And I said, okay. So it was a pretty cool story because the first time we go to Lake Redding Golf Course, which is now shut down.
I love that. That's where we would go just.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's such a cool place. So he takes me out there, and he says, well, let's try it out. My very first swing, I get some guy in the background, saw me hit a ball, and he goes, oh, my gosh. He goes, how many balls? He goes, how long have you been playing? I go, that's my first shot. He goes, well, you're a natural kid.
Mm.
And so I was like, oh, it just clicked with me. I go, really?
He gave me some food.
Yeah, let me see how good I can get at this game. So, That's what started it. Yep.
Well, when we met Dan, we were at the Special Olympics, and they put pros along with the rest of us duffers. And Linda and I sat there and watched Dan play, and I swear I have never seen – I mean, I don't watch pro golf. I mean, when you do the pros and all that, but when you're standing there or sitting there watching somebody strike the ball perfectly, whether it's a driver or a 9-iron or a pitching wedge, everything you did that day was perfect.
That was
if you remember.
I do. I remember. Yeah.
It was like we're on a par five and we're on the green in two on a par five. And, of course, that was my shot. No, but I asked you, I said, and you were playing in the pro-am that
Yeah, and
that,
very
that
humble,
weekend.
Very humble when you play, very humble, and that's always nice.
And he would ask you, do you mind if I give a, you know, it wasn't like he'd just step in and go, well, you know, if you did this, it was, mind if I make a comment? Or something like that.
Yeah, whatever. I always ask. I never want to impose. Yeah.
No, and, so we've known you ever since then.
Yeah, now that we mentioned the time frame, I think that was coming right off my Red Bluff victory, actually, the first time we played together. So I was playing really good golf at that time. Yeah.
Well.
And you told me, though.
Isn't that life?
I said, why aren't you out there every day? You know?
Right.
And do you remember the answer you gave me?
I don't know.
You said, I can play with anybody, for 1, 2, maybe even 3 days. But it's the focus that professional golfers at that level have to have.
Yeah.
And you're still working that way.
Yeah, I mean, they do it day in and day out, and it's really impressive what those guys can do.
Because of the absolutely 100% focus. But that's their lives where you make a living, you do all these different things.
Well,
so,
we see that with all of the greats. We're watching the World Cup.
Right.
I mean, their life. I mean, I don't know if they could possibly miss a kid's birthday.
For sure.
I mean, when we watch Michael Phelps, Michael Phelps said that he swims 7 days a week, even through Christmas and New Year's, missed a lot of stuff, Christmas, holidays, birthdays
everything.
Because,
every day
and he said, even when I had the flu, because the day I didn't, it meant the other guys had an edge.
Absolutely. That's the way you look at it. Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, so
we see their performance, right? We see the best of the best, their performance on the world stage when they're winning, but we don't see all the hard work they put in behind the scenes, right?
Oh,
the hours that they work and the dedication they have to their food and the dedication they have to the gym and
the food.
Yeah, I mean, it's what
the food makes a difference, doesn't it?
Food makes a difference, absolutely.
And how your energy flows in your body.
Right.
Like when you know your body, when I can eat, when what I can't eat, because not everybody's body's made the same. Like pasta may be different for you than the next guy.
For sure, yeah. I mean, they have the balance of what they're supposed to eat, when they're supposed to eat it, how they're supposed to eat it, before workout, after workout. You know, I mean, the dedication that they do at every top athletic level, you know, is not pretty impressive. It's extremely impressive.
I had a trainer, just to sidebar real fast, I had a trainer in Sacramento who was Mr. USA. He's a bodybuilder, but he had a gym in Sacramento. And he used to say, speaking of, just along your lines, he used to say, I travel with my food.
Right.
And I thought that was the weirdest thing. He said, I travel with my food because wherever I go, I have to be exactly what's in my body.
Yep.
And so he was cutting all that other stuff like that. So, what?
It's my turn.
Okay. I thought you were saying, what's the weather?
No.
Okay. Well, I'm very excited about it, you know, like hearing about the great.
When we talk about somebody that's kind of reaching a plateau like that, we have a golfer right here in Redding that is approaching that plateau. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah. So his name is Jay Abraham. I actually fly out today to Columbus, Ohio to go support him in the 2026 U.S. Senior Open. It's a huge accomplishment. JJ and I have been best friends, very, very close. He's like an older brother to me since I actually caddy for him in 1997 at the U.S. Open sectional qualifying down in L.A.,
uh-huh.
And now, almost 30 years later, he is qualified for the U.S. Senior Open. So
now, how do you qualify? You know, when people say that the U.S. Open is for the public, too. So
it is.
But the Senior Open must be the same. How do you qualify?
Well, first, you put in a lot of hard work, which he's done. A lot of practice, a lot of preparation, you know. And then, so there's a local qualifying, which he did at Yolo Flyers Club in Woodland. So you get through that first stage, and then you do a regional qualifier. They call it a sectional qualifier, or final qualifier. He went down to L.A. again. And down in L.A., he wound up making it through. He had to place top six to get through. And top six means that, you know, it's all the best from the Western states, basically. They had international players out there trying to make it. And he did it. And he did
it.
And so now he's qualified, and he plays in Columbus, Ohio this weekend for the U.S. Senior Open. It's really, really something that...
The Senior Open.
Now, we're saying he's going to have a fantastic tournament. If you win this or get in, you know, top places, what's that mean?
Yeah, so if he wins, he would actually become a full-blown PGA Tour champion member.
Oh, is that right?
So he would play full time. Yeah, he'd be out there touring
in the senior circuit.
Yeah, that's 15 over. So 15 over for this tournament. Anybody that has a game of I want to say it's 0.8 or lower handicap index can try to qualify. And once you get to that level, then you make it in. And if he places well,
that means like almost a zero handicap.
Almost a zero handicap,
which means you play par or below par.
Correct.
So, yep. I mean, for the whole course.
Yep.
For people who are not quite sure about that.
Yeah, so par is 72, and on a zero handicap, that means for the most part that you know, you go out and shoot somewhere around 72 every day you play.
Every day you play.
Yep.
It says qualified for the 156 player tournament. He advanced out of the final qualifying stage at El Caballero Country Club. With a standout performance. He's 53 years old. He balances touring, instructing, and teaching junior golfers at Gold Hills Country Club.
Yes. Junior golfers are near and dear to both of our hearts. We've been involved in junior programs for years and years. Special Olympics.
Well, you were mentored because you were mentored.
Right. Correct.
So you know how important it is. Just the day could change your life.
Yeah, I'm going to go back for just a second. So El Caballero Country Club, where he qualified out of, that was where I caddy for him in 97.
Oh, wow.
So he went back there and he made it this time.
Oh, well, man, that gives me chills.
So you're going back there, and we've got to take a break. But what's that mean? Because you're a player coach. So
yeah,
when we come back from this break, and we will be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hi, I'm Carrie Crancy, CEO of the Community Foundation of the North State, and we are so grateful for the partnership of the Redding Rancheria
over 20 years and counting.
Hi, I'm Jenna Berry with Raising Shasta. We love partnering with Rancheria. They've been a huge supporter of us for years in so many ways. You know, they help us with our fundraisers, and especially when we come to planting pinwheels.
Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Turtle Bay's glowing wild and illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival is back and better than ever for 2026 at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with larger-than-life displays of plants and animals from around the world.
Including dinosaurs and icons from ancient Egypt.
Jump on the new Turtle Express for a fun ride through the show.
Glowing Wild is May 1st through June 28th, 7 to 10 p.m. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
The property insurance crisis in California is starting to affect the business insurance property also. 200 to 300% rate increases in business property rates or not writing business insurance at all are becoming the norm. At Siskiyou Insurance, we have over 100 years experience in writing business insurance in the North State. We can help. We live here and care about our community and want to make sure that you keep your business with a local agent that knows our town and supports it every day. And we'll get you the best deal we can. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345. Siskiyou Insurance, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Business is booming at Redding Heating and Air, and we have a simple philosophy. Our neighbors deserve elite talent. We are looking for the absolute best service technicians and installers in the North State.
That's right. We aren't just looking to fill a seat. We're looking for pros who take pride in their craft and care about the community we serve.
If you're at the top of your game, you belong at a company that respects your expertise. Because here, we take the trust of our neighbors personally.
We're hiring service technicians and installers right now. We offer the best compensation in town because we believe the best of the best deserve to be treated that way.
If you're a seasoned pro ready to lead in a company where excellence is the standard, we want you on our team.
No joke. We've got the work. If you've got the skills, come join the family.
Service technicians and installers, apply today to Redding Heating and Air. Visit reddingheatingair.com to submit your application. Redding Heating and Air, old-fashioned service, modern-day solutions.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Our guest is Dan Scott from Eagle Eye Painting, but Dan's going back to the Senior Open with J.J. Abrahams, who qualified to be into the U.S. Senior Open, which is going to be this weekend. In fact, Dan's flying out today. He goes, when do you want me to be on? And I said, well, can Tuesday. He goes, what time?
Okay.
I said, early. He goes, good, I'm flying out. Now,
there were some stats he told us at the break.
JJ's got a four-person team, four-man team.
Inside the ropes.
Yep, inside the ropes.
Which means that if you watch golf, you'll see the ropes, and that's where all the spectators are at. So you get to go inside the ropes, you get to go to the clubhouse and all these things.
His support team.
But y'all have something in common, too.
We do. So the guy in his bag is a guy named Craig Howard, who was the number one golfer from the late 80s, or basically the late 80s at Shasta High. And then Jay Abraham was the number one golfer at Shasta High, late 80s, early 90s. And then I came in after them and was the top golfer for Shasta High as well. So we have three generation of number one Shasta High golfers representing us.
And who's the fourth guy?
Well, we have another gentleman who's representing him as an agent, which hopefully he'll get some opportunity out of this.
Yes.
We can discuss more opportunity for him. And then there's a gentleman out of L.A. who's helping support his swing and give him some advice.
You might get Nike to say,
how important is the caddy?
Absolutely. Caddy's huge, right? I mean, you know, because not just telling them what club to hit or how far to hit it or anything like that, but they also measure wind direction. They measure the lie, you know, is it uphill, is it downhill, you know, how far is it going to play? But then they also help them inside the rope, distract them. You know, as a golfer, you don't want to be out there completely focused on golf for 6 hours. You want to be focused, or 5 hours, however long the round lasts, 4.5 to 5 hours. But you want to be able to take mental breaks in between shots. You know, in other words, like almost like this commercial break, right? Where we go on a commercial break and we're talking about other things, right? And we kind of get distracted. And then on air, we're talking about focused things, right? So it's the same thing when you talk about golf. You want to be really, really focused for that 2 minutes of your shot. And the rest of the time, you're talking about other things because you don't want to be, because mentally you can get absolutely drained. And when you have mental fatigue, then your body can get tired. Then you start hitting bad shots and stuff like that. So,
well, lately I've just watched, I don't know what has been fascinating at the reels, because there's a lot of stuff that's going on right now about players, women and men, that we're talking about. I don't know. I just get out there and I just kind of figure out the shot.
Right. Right.
They're not like, well, what were you thinking? I really wasn't thinking. I just was in the moment of thinking about how to get the ball there.
Well, that's a good point. So the purpose of the caddy is to think, right? They're trying to figure out the shot. They're trying to figure out the distance, the lie, the wind direction, things like that. And the player's responsibility is just to hit the shot. They don't want to think about too much. They don't want to think, you know, they get a yardage, they get all the instruction from the caddy, and then their job is just to get up and perform. And that's where all the preparation comes in, right? You don't just step up and hit a shot and you go, oh, yes, it went kind of where I wanted to. I mean, these guys are dialed into within the yardage, right? If it's 160 yards, they're trying to hit it 160 yards. They're not trying to hit it about 160 yards, you know, maybe a little bit right, a little bit left. Mm-hmm. They're trying to hit it 160 yards exactly, because at 162 yards or 163 yards, there may be a runoff that goes down into a lake or down to the rough or whatever it is. I mean, these guys are very, very precise.
Right, so, and that's preparation, preparation,
absolutely,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
So the equipment,
yeah.
Since you've been playing, has probably changed dramatically.
Well, yeah, I started with a persimmon wood driver. So that was popular back in the 80s, right? And there was a sweet spot the size of about a
like my clubs.
Smaller than a penny. Yeah, yeah. And now the technology, you know, is advanced so far where, you know, the whole club face is basically a sweet spot. So technology over the years has advanced. The ball has changed. The club has changed. The material has changed. So there's a lot of different things. And, you know, you could say the game has gotten maybe easier for the average golfer, but at the top level, the game's gotten extremely, extremely competitive. I think that you've seen a growth in overall athletes coming to the game, you know, where it used to just kind of be an average guy with an average body going out there and swinging the club. Now these guys are all, they're top athletes. Their performance, their diet.
They're training and all this stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, the top golfer in the world, Rory McIlroy, he's out there training. Well, he's not number one, but he's number two.
Right.
But he trains for an hour and a half before he even tees up.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of unheard of for 80s or 90s or previous golfers.
So there was also in I don't know if it was a doc or something that I watched, documentary I was watching, about how at one time when you had like the Mickelsons and some of the great players, how they never threw a club, they never cussed.
Right.
And then they're talking about the current culture. What say you about that?
You know, so I heard that same segment, and a lot of the blame is going towards Tiger and his kind of temper flare-ups and how he's kind of molded this generation, because golf was based on a gentleman's game, right? A gentleman's sport where you went out and you kind of composed yourself and you really maintained your emotions. And now the evolution has come where they see a lot more of the temper flare-ups. And, you know, I think that I would like to see less temper flares for sure. I would like to see more composure and
bring it back to a gentleman, classy kind of, like, you know, your kids are watching.
Absolutely. And that's the reality of it, right? Kids are watching, and when you see even the pace of the game, right? It's really slowed down over the years because we watch these guys take their time, and then you get a guy kids, adults, whoever they are, and they go out there and try to mimic these players. You know, and these guys are playing for millions of dollars, right? They're playing for millions of dollars in their life. I mean, that's their career. It's what they do for a living. So the average golfer should take not much more than probably 10 seconds analyzing a shot and just get up and hit it. You know?
Well, on Special Olympics, Marcus and I rode together, and who's pro out at Riverview, pro out there.
Yeah.
He told me about his cousin who was a pro golfer that was in the bigs.
Okay.
And was there for several years. And I tell you, the lives for striking that ball, they can live a very, very good life.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, I mean, we're not talking a couple hundred thousand a year. We're talking lots more than that.
Yeah, no, if you make it to that level, you're making, you know,
you're making big bucks.
5 to 25 million a year. I mean, it's big bucks for
you
sure.
You think about that. Now, it's going to be tough.
Right.
But we're going to switch back to Eagle Eye.
Yeah.
Let me tell you that Dan did just exactly what he said. He comes out and he looks at your house. You know, he scratches the wood. He measures and all this. And then he sends his team out, and then Dan comes out and checks his team. Did our house, did our studios. And, you know, thoroughly endorsed Dan and his abilities to do that. So, if somebody hires a painting contractor, and what should they expect? I mean, yes, you come out and measure the house and look at it and all that, but what should somebody, because this is, you know, this could be a significant investment in your house.
Sure. Well, one thing.
Or your business, because you just finished some businesses around here, too.
Absolutely. We paint residential and commercial. You know, one thing I would encourage people to do is make sure that somebody's licensed. Being licensed is a big deal, right? You go to cslb.org or .ca.org, and that's the Contractor State License Board. You can look up anybody's license number there and make sure they're licensed, because what that does is that, one, says that they've done the testing required to get your license, and it also, the Contractor State License Board makes sure that we have the proper insurances and proper bonding. And so that protects the customer from contractors doing a poor job, right? That's the consumer protection, making sure that we're licensed, bonded, and insured. The next thing that you can expect from a contractor is, you know, they really should communicate, and if they say they're going to show up at a certain day or a certain time, you should be able to expect that out of people, right? I mean, it's like you're showing up to a job. If I tell you I'm going to be there at 8 o'clock, I should be there at 7:55, ready to go, right? I mean, what time did I show up here to your guys' station knowing that we were going to be on the air? I was here.
Early,
yeah. Right. Yeah, I'm not.
You know, we come from a family of like, except pros. Early's on time,
right. I mean, at you know, if we're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock, we're ready to work at 8 o'clock, right? So that means you're there 5
down,
to
the
10
downbeat is at 8 o'clock.
Because it's a big thing for your house, because you know, if you're working and all that, you know, you're getting ready to leave, and so they're there. You don't have to worry, well, it's 8 o'clock, I've got to get to work.
Yeah,
where
no,
are they?
No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, that starts your day off.
It does, yeah. And we work for a lot of professionals. You know, we are there to work for you, right? You are our boss. So we like to take care of our people, and that's what you can expect from us, is that we're going to show up on time, do what we say we're going to do, and really trust that what we discuss and what our contract says is that we're going to withhold, right? Or we're going to stand by that.
Okay.
So, yep.
And you've got a long track record.
I do. I've been in business 18 years, and I'm extremely focused on Eagle Eye Painting. Going to the U.S. Senior Open is very exciting, but my passion is painting people's homes or businesses. That's what I love to do.
I know you just did a business down the street here, didn't you?
We did, yeah. So we, a couple of years, one of our signature projects is actually the Oddfellas Building. We were part of that facelift, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was great.
It was really, really neat.
You did the Bail Bonds place.
We did the Bail Bonds place, yeah. We painted Girlinger Steel. We've done Discovery Village. We painted the Country Club at Riverview. We painted the Mount Shasta Resort. I mean, there's a lot of local businesses that we take care of, so.
Okay. And so how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, 530-410-1317 is our phone number, or you can go to 530painter.com or danscottpainting.com. There's lots of ways to get a hold of me.
And like I said, what you're hearing is what you get right here. Dan's, you know, he's telling the straight skinny here. Okay, I do have one other favor to ask. After the Open,
yeah,
and Jay wins,
yeah,
when he comes home,
yeah,
I want him to sit right where you're sitting
with you
and talk about this,
yeah,
because this is somebody that's reached a pinnacle up there. Yeah, he hasn't won it, but he has reached the point where he can win.
He's in it.
Yeah, I mean,
he's in it.
I think it's important to note that, you know, I mentioned that we went to a qualifier in 1997. It's now 2026. That's kind of a unique thing about golf, right? We can pursue our dreams for that long, and then now
the senior golf circuit really has.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.
Okay.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks a lot, buddy.
Have a good trip.
Have a safe trip.
And it'll be fabulous.
And tell Jay that we're all rooting for him.
Will do. Thank you.
All right. Hey, when we come back, we've got the city manager's office.
All right.
He's going to be joining us. And we'll be right back after the news.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from Town Hall. Amrit Thomason. The Supreme Court has spoken and birthright citizenship can stay. The ruling is a setback for President Trump. He had wanted to limit the practice of granting automatic U.S. citizenship to those born in this country. Mr. Trump's executive order had declared that youngsters born to people in the United States illegally or temporarily are not American citizens. The Supreme Court disagrees. The High Court also upholding state laws that ban transgender athletes from participating in girls' and women's high school and college sports.
The court's conservative majority has repeatedly ruled against transgender Americans in the past year. It rules Tuesday that states' bans in Idaho and West Virginia don't violate the Constitution of the federal law known as Title IX, which prohibits sex discrimination in education. Left unresolved by the outcome are lawsuits challenging state laws and regulations in Connecticut, California, and elsewhere that permit transgender athletes to compete consistent with their gender identity. Bernie Bennett, Washington.
And the High Court has struck down long-standing limits on how much political parties can spend in coordination with candidates running for Congress or the White House. President Trump says the Supreme Court's ruling allowing states to count late-arriving mail-in ballots underscores the importance of Congress passing the Save America Act to ensure election integrity. Extreme heat advisories, watches, warnings posted across a vast area from the Midwest to the Mid-Atlantic up into the Northeast as a dangerous heat wave settles in. Dozens of wildfires continue burning out west. The Venezuela earthquake death toll continues to rise. Now it tops 1,700 as search and rescue efforts continue. On Wall Street, stocks are higher this morning. The Dow is up about 72 points. The Nasdaq ahead 191 points. More on these stories, townhall.com.
Health insurance rates are surging in America, leaving millions without affordable options. If you're sick of having paychecks eaten up by healthcare costs or dealing with mega corporations, then listen to this. Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. That's why I want to tell you about Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's an alternative to traditional health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills. There's no enrollment period, so you can join anytime. And you aren't restricted to provider networks, so you choose the doctors and hospitals you want. It's that simple. CHM is not insurance. It's a ministry that puts faith into action. Feel the difference of financial support and biblical care from fellow believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
A suspect is being held in connection with a deadly mass shooting in Germany.
A male suspect shot and killed at least six people at a youth welfare facility in Stuttgart, Germany. Lüneburg Police President Katrin Schul says four people who had been shot in a gruesome manner died at the scene. Another died while being resuscitated. Another succumbed to severe injuries. Others were also wounded at the facility, which provides temporary accommodation for pregnant women or young mothers with children. Officials believe it may have stemmed from a custody dispute. All of the victims were employees of the youth center or its affiliates. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A Ukrainian business tycoon believed to have been the target of an explosive device in Monaco. The explosion late yesterday seriously injured three people before the suspect fled to France. French and Ukrainian media identifying one of the injured as a construction industry executive. Townhall.com. That's been a bumpy ride of late for one Japanese automaker.
Toyota reports that global vehicle sales slipped for a fourth consecutive month in May, as decreases in China and the Middle East weighed on overall results. Global sales dropped 7.2% year-on-year to 834,279 vehicles. Overseas sales fell 9.6%, while those in Japan rose 11.1%, helped by strong demand for certain models such as the RAV4.
And that's correspondent Bill Alexander. Recapping the hour's lead story, the Supreme Court striking down President Trump's attempt to limit birthright citizenship through an executive order. The president had sought to rein in the practice of granting automatic U.S. citizenship to those born in this country. Mr. Trump's executive order declared that children born to people in the U.S. illegally or temporarily are not American citizens. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. Broadcasting from the KCNR studio, sponsored by Wind River Resort and Casino. Now, here is Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Today, the 30th of June, the last day of June today.
Again, I know,
it
isn't
finally
that weird?
Arrived.
Yeah.
And
July 1st,
yeah.
Think about the first week of July, and we're all getting ready to celebrate, have been celebrating 250 years of being America, the United States.
Yeah, this weekend. 8:05 in the morning, news top of the hour is always brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring Compassion Community, Shasta Regional Medical Center. I'm not laughing about that. I'm laughing about something else. I'll explain it in a second.
Okay.
Ben's here with us, and we're starting a new national day. It's National Social Media Day, and we want to start National Less Social Media Day, which I think is more important. And what was the other one? Ben?
Meteor Watch Day. My mic wasn't turned on.
Oh,
no,
okay.
Meteor Watch Day. Well, welcome
Meteor.
To Meteor. I was having that same problem yesterday. Anyway, okay. So, Linda, it's going to be hot.
Well, yes,
it's going to be
is.
Hot.
Well, about 95 today will be our highs. And light winds, actually. Our overnight lows will be clear skies. We're looking at about 63 with our overnight lows. Great time. We're coming up baseball. The Colt 45s, all kinds of fun things are going to be going on.
We have Colt 45 baseball this weekend. And just let me tell you, on the 4th of July, the game's going to start an hour early, which means and the reasoning behind that is once the game is over, go get your chairs, go get your blankies, and go out. And you can sit in the outfield or you can sit in the stands. And you have a front row seat to the fireworks that's going off at the Civic Auditorium. And the best part, you don't have the crowds that are leaving. You just walk out to your car and drive away. It's no traffic jam. And that's this Saturday at the at Tiger Field. So, and game does start an hour early, so be aware of that. But front row seat to the fireworks. And the vendors are staying open, too. So.
All right. So, looks like on Wednesday we have about 94 overnight lows. Wednesday night, 64 as we progress through the week. Just beautiful weather. Thursday, 91. Friday, 96. Now, on Independence Day, it's going to be about 101. So, stay hydrated and cool as we are out and about at the lake doing wonderful things, just being out and about and celebrating, you know, the wonderful freedoms that we have in this country. Okay. And the weather's brought to you by a veteran-owned company out of Anderson, Shasta Gas Propane. 365-3793 for all of your gas and propane needs. Family owned, where they always give senior and veteran discounts.
Good.
Yeah. Your turn. Your turn.
Okay, my turn. We have with us Michael Webb, the assistant city manager, and he's the public works director here for the city of Reading. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda.
Good
Thank
morning.
You for having me.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things going on in our town, in our county. And we've had our new city manager, William Tarbell, has been on and stepped into a challenge with the budget and everything else that's going on. But tell us a little bit about you, Michael. A local guy or what?
Yeah, so thank you, Carl. Yeah, local guy. My family moved here to Reading when I was pretty young. I want to say second grade. Cedar Meadows kid, which I believe is no longer Cedar Meadows. So school here, Shasta High School. Did a couple years at Shasta College and then transferred to Chico State. Met my wife there. studied civil engineering at Chico State.
Why civil engineering?
Yeah, was it in your family?
My grandfather, so my mother's dad, is an electrical engineer.
Okay.
And just spending a little bit of time around him as a little kid, it seemed kind of neat, the engineering discipline. As a kid, liked Lego, liked building things, liked taking things apart, trying to put them back together. and so just pretty good at math and sciences, and it seemed like a fit.
What is civil engineering?
Civil engineering is essentially, you're talking roads, bridges, culverts or storm drains, structures, you know, so homes, garages, buildings. It's a mm-hmm. lot of your public works, the stuff that we all touch, feel, and use every day, right? Your roads, your traffic signals,
sewers.
Sidewalks, sewers, water line, the treatment plants,
okay.
You know, landfills. It's a lot of that stuff. So it's really interesting. You get to figure out, you know, really how everything works and ticks and what's happening.
And how it should tie in together, too.
How they should all work together so that, you know, we can go about our daily business and lives.
I imagine when you're making a plans, and I mean the city plans, is that, okay, we need to upgrade this. But then you have to look at everything else on how that is going to be. How does that link in to everything?
It's a big challenge. I liken it to a lot of times when we do home remodels, right? You know, you've got to tie into what's already there, to your point, Carl.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times it comes down to what specifically is the issue that we're trying to fix, or the asset that we're trying to maintain, and clearly defining that so we don't get scope creep. Which is very, very easy to get in these
scope
projects.
Creep.
Yeah,
Carl
calls it mission creep.
I call it mission creep because people will be doing things and I just stand up and go mission creep because it starts here. But oh no, look, this is a good idea. Oh no, there is a good idea. Cut off day.
There sure. is. My wife and I joke about it a lot, right? That happens to us at home, too. We have good intentions. We start doing something, and pretty soon it grows. And so we really try to combat that to make sure that we have a very well-defined scope. What is the project trying to accomplish? And really stick to that. Because there are so many assets out there, right? There's the sidewalk, the pavement, the traffic signals, the water, the sewer, all those things. And then there's limited resources, and we're trying to make every dollar last as long as possible. So we don't want to replace something earlier than it should be. We want to get the maximum useful life out of it.
It's one of those, it's like the 3-day supply chain. That on that third day, that's when you need to fix it. And, but if you know, 2 weeks before, no. And maybe 2 weeks after, it's too late.
Yeah.
And my perfect example of our city is we have sewer lines made out of clay. And the pipes, are they still there?
We have a number of old sewer lines that are out of that vitrified clay.
And that dates back to when?
Long before me.
Yeah, I mean, it's long before most people. Yes. I mean, isn't it back to like the 20s or is it?
Yeah, they're approaching the 80 to 100 year age for sure. And we replace probably 10, 15 miles of sewer pipe annually per year.
Oh, every year.
Yeah.
Wow.
And we're constantly upgrading and replacing and using the newer materials. If you could imagine, it's a big deal having those pipes because really what happens is during the wintertime we get a lot of infiltration, right? So it rains, water gets down in the ground, and it finds its way into those sewer pipes. And what happens is the flow to the wastewater treatment plants, it can double during those heavy rainfall events. And what we're treating the normal sewer that is what everybody thinks it is, but then we're also treating an additional half flow that is really just rainwater that is infiltrated into those pipes.
But it still goes through the system.
It still, once it's in the system, it goes there, and we have to treat it because we treat it to a certain level that meets the state and federal standards, and then we discharge into the Sacramento River at both of our treatment plants.
Okay. Hey, we're here with Michael Webb, Assistant City Manager and Public Works Director, and we're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. We're talking workers' compensation here, and if you're not getting treatment for a work injury, you need an expert on your side, and that's Patrick Gorman. You know, work injuries are life-changing, can be life-changing for you, your family. You know, you want to get back to work. Maybe you can't do that same job because of that injury, but you're not getting the treatment that you rate that you're supposed to have. Why? Denials, insurance companies, whatever it is. You need somebody on your side that understands workers' compensation, and that's Patrick Gorman. He's a scrapper, and when you call him at 530-262-2168, you're going to talk to Patrick. You're not going to talk to a paralegal or somebody else. You're going to talk to him, and he's going to discuss with you the nature of what's going on in your case. Like I said, he's a scrapper. He knows workers' compensation. He's built the largest workers' compensation office north of Sacramento over the last 5 years, located in Palisadro. So if you're having a problem, give him a call, 530-262-2168, or go to GormanComp.com. That's Gorman, C-O-M-P, law.com. And we'll be right back with Michael Webb and the City of Redding.
Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Look at your home from the street for a second. Now imagine with rich, fresh color, clean trim, and a finish that looks great in the sunshine. Eagle Eye Painting can make that happen quickly and professionally. Our friendly crew focuses on the details through prep, careful edges, and a job site that's cleaned up when we're done. We're local, licensed, bonded, and insured, and we can walk you through the whole process in English or Spanish. Make this the season your home really stands out. Call Eagle Eye Painting at 530-410-1317 for your free exterior estimate. That's 530-410-1317 or visit 530painter.com.
Turtle Bay's glowing wild and illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival is back and better than ever for 2026 at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with larger-than-life displays of plants and animals from around the world,
including dinosaurs and icons from ancient Egypt.
Jump on the new Turtle Express for a fun ride through the show.
Glowing Wild is May 1st through June 28th, 7 to 10 p.m. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
Everybody calls us Alliance. Yeah.
Could someone you know use a little extra comfort right now? Alliance Heating and Air is proud to team up with Lennox to bring Feel the Love to our community, a special program providing free heating and cooling systems to homeowners in need. A simple nomination can make a big difference. Nominate today at homecomfort.org or call 2212-642 Alliance Heating and Air, because everybody calls us. 2212-642.
Are you tired of your business insurance expenses going up and up? Surprisingly, there is some relief here in California. The workers' compensation market in California is the hottest it's been in years. Companies are offering huge discounts on some worker compensation policies, and if your agent hasn't shopped your workers' compensation insurance lately, you're paying too much. Siskiyou Insurance Services deals with some of the best insurance companies in California, not only for business insurance, but also workers' compensation insurance, too. Hartford, Travelers, Liberty, and more. Real estate agencies, smoking hot rates. Lawyers, some of the best rates in California. Doctor's offices and dentist offices, we have the companies. And contractors, we can write your comp too. Call Curtis Byron at Siskiyou Insurance Services today if you want to save money on your business insurance portfolio. If your agent hasn't shopped your workers' compensation this year, you can by calling Siskiyou Insurance in Redding, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Give me some to believe in.
All right. 8:19 in the morning on this. What are we, Tuesday? Yeah, usually I wanted to come in today. I'm glad I'm here. So great to be here with our assistant city manager. This portion of the show is brought to you by
Shasta Regional Medical Center. This is a great time to find or start a career in the healthcare industry, and Shasta Regional Medical Center has opportunities available right now. Openings for a variety of backgrounds and experience levels, both full-time and part-time, tuition reimbursement, medical insurance, 401ks, and more are part of the package. Shasta Regional Medical Center. You can learn more at ShastaRegional.com and click careers in the main menu. And we're here with Michael Webb, who is the assistant city manager, and he is the public works director. And we've been talking about how it's kind of like a big schematic that everything ties into each other, and how if you do this, it could have an effect not only on something right next to it, but 5 miles away. So, and trying to keep that balanced. What's the biggest problem that we're facing here in Redding?
The biggest problem right now.
That's right. Go ahead.
Excuse
please.
Me. This better?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the main thing that we're focusing on right now, City Manager Tarbeau, so William and I, we're really working to get our budget in line and in order. We're working with a consultant, taking a hard look at our organizational alignment and our assessing.
Right.
Do we have the folks in the correct position? Are we organized correctly? Where can we do a little bit better? What have we learned? So we're taking a hard look at that, you know, top to bottom, side to side, and really want to get that in alignment and make sure that we're sustainable in the future.
I imagine when you come in from the outside, and frankly, you may not have to do it every time, but I think in any type of organization, you need to bring somebody from the outside in. People that are in the organization, and this isn't a slap at them. People that have been in an organization their whole career and have thrived in that, it's because they thrived in that organization and that kind of silo they're in. A lot of times they don't look outside because they've been a success in what they've had. I think bringing in somebody to take a look that comes in from the outside is good. In every bureaucracy or every business.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Carl. Will's perspective, being fresh and new to Redding, you know, coming from Concord, Benicia, San Francisco, and all the other roles that he's held throughout his career, pretty impressive, really, when you sit down and look at it. His perspective is very valuable, right? He doesn't have any preconceived notions. He's new. He's going to ask a lot of the questions. And I think it's a nice fit, the combination with Will and I. I've been at the city for about 3 years, and so my background is really more at the state level with Caltrans. And so Will and I, in combination with the directorship and the leadership team, I think it's a good combination to get us on the right path and get us going where we need to be, where we challenge things that have been done a certain way for a number of years. And, you know, if there's a better way to do it and there's no barriers to get there, we need to transition to that. And getting us to stay in what I would call like a continuous improvement mode where, you know, the status quo, even though it worked, there may be something better. So let's find a way to get there. How do we do that? And we need to be in that mode all the time, always looking to get better, always looking to improve. And which I will add doesn't mean that we're not going to make mistakes. I challenge a lot of my direct reports pretty frequently that making mistakes is not a bad thing because that's how you learn. One of the worst things would be to keep making the same mistake, and we don't want to do that.
Well, everybody's going to make a mistake. You learn from, like you just said, you learn from your mistakes a lot more than maybe your successes in it. The balancing act of trying to keep all of it going, and especially now because we all know that the city has budget problems. They had a very conservative growth estimate. I think it was 2.5 this year. Income or our receivables are 8 to 10% below that, or it may have changed.
Yeah, so that's changed a little bit. So council, gosh, it seems like a lifetime ago because things are just flying
right, pretty
quick.
Yeah,
but I would say probably 3, maybe 4 months ago, around that timeline, somewhere there, 2 to 4 months. We had a meeting with council, city council meeting, obviously, and we took a hard look at the revenue projections specifically for the general fund. So this would be the property tax, the sales tax, The cannabis tax and the transient occupancy tax,
yeah.
or commonly referred to as the TOT tax.
Right.
And worked with council, and we adjusted those and brought them down to be a little bit more in alignment with
reality.
And those seem to be trending very close to actuals right now.
Okay.
So the current revenue forecast within the city's budget, the 10-year plan, those documents, seems to be in alignment with reality. Now what we're working with is our consultant and the organizational assessment to make sure that our expenditures, again, are in alignment with that revenue number. And we're really putting the resources where the priorities are and just taking a hard look at that. And so really excited about that, and it's a good opportunity to clean things up. And I will say, working with the consultant, the positive news is there's a lot of opportunity to fix these things. So we're not too worried about it. There's a lot of good things that are going to come out of this, and some tweaks we can make and some adjustments that'll put the city in a good position today and in the future.
Well, I'm looking right now, if you go to cityofreading.gov and you go on, it talks about your phase one assessment, because a lot of times we can hear, you know, city council meetings are out of hand, blah, 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 and we tune out. I think that's just a common thing that happens when we hear too much rhetoric and noise. And what you've done here is you've put in a visual, a beautiful thing about phase one assessment, that you've done 74 interviews. I like this. I like this PowerPoint. Across departments, city council, customers, and residents, focusing on inefficiencies, workflows, and decision layers. The next one, 10 site visits, direct observation. I would encourage anyone listening today and everyone listening, go to cityofreading.gov and find out, you know, we have been in trouble. We could be in trouble, and so we're cleaning it up. Now, cleaning it up doesn't always mean it's comfortable and fun. I mean, there's some hard calls that are going to be, that some people are going to be bent out of shape, but it can't keep going like it's going. It's like you can't keep going to Vegas, baby. You know, you gotta cut down somewhere.
You gotta go to...
You've had over 300,
Wind River instead of
300
Vegas.
Document reviews with deep dive analysis, cross-referencing, model building, and opportunity development. So these are wonderful things for us to look at that's showing transparency about the work you guys are doing.
Yeah, thank you, Linda. I'm glad you looked at that and mentioned it. So phase one's complete, and phase two through four were completed just recently, and we're currently working on putting something similar together for those. And share that with council very likely in August, and then obviously post some stuff online for folks to view as well.
Well, you have a potential savings between $300,000 and $500,000 in just in stale. You put the word highlighted in stale encumbrances.
Yes, and so that's a good thing to highlight. And what that really is for the listeners and for you too is a lot. You know, the city's pretty. It's a pretty large company organization, right? And so there's a number of contracts that are at any one time going on. It could be something simple for an HVAC contract, you know, for
sure.
City Hall, or it could be a paving contract or whatever it could be. And so there are dollars that are tied up on that contract, which if you think about it is a good thing, because when you're a large organization, you don't want to have contracts out there with vendors that don't have money on them, right? So that you would get in a situation where someone would do work, but you don't have the funds to pay them. So what happens is a lot of these contracts, when they get near the finish line and the work is complete, there's generally a little bit of funds sitting there that needs to be collected or swept, for a lack of a better term, right? The activity, the project is done, and those remaining funds can go back to their...
That makes sense.
...their source.
It's finished, yeah.
So that's what we're talking about there. And that's a good activity to routinely do, and one of the things that will very likely come out of the, you know, the organizational assessment is that we put standard practices into play to where we do that more often, or we give staff the tools to monitor it, and then when they get to project closeout, the time between the funds being released and the project being completed actually shortens up, so that we can use that money instead of letting it sit there.
Right, that makes sense.
Well, you know, it's always nice to know where your money is,
right?
And yeah, especially in a large budget, and then also making sure you're getting paid. which you know, we've every business has that payments are running late. So you got to have, you know, especially in something as big as Redding, you've got to have somebody there saying, you know what, we're still owed $3 million from 2 years ago from things, either government, you know, the feds or the state or things like that.
Absolutely. There are a number of reimbursable grants and activities that are going on where the city is expending resources and maybe, for lack of a better term, fronting those costs until the work is complete in which we get reimbursed. And so that is a huge part of the city's operations throughout the city, not specifically the general fund. We do a lot of grant or reimbursable work in public works. And so there's a lot of that going on.
Okay, we're with Michael Webb, who is the assistant city manager and the public works director. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to talk civic for a little bit, if we can, if you feel comfortable with that.
Sure.
Sure. This portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop right off Athens Avenue, across the parking lot from the old Subway or Lucky Miller's, or soon to be, I think, the Submarama is going to be there. Founded in 1960, been in that same location since 1967. Well, I found him in 2007 when I moved up here to be with Linda. And otherwise, I could have gone. Anyway, it's a great barbershop. It's not a hair salon, and I thoroughly enjoy going there and getting my hair cut. And you can make appointments by calling them at 530-244-9478 or using Booksy. And, you know, so it works on your schedule. It's a pleasant place. It's man's last stronghold, Cypress Square Barbershop. And we'll be right back with Michael Webb and the City of Redding.
Hi friends, R.C. here from Tobacco and Brew, sharing this month's Cigar of the Humidor. H. Upman Sunrise. Grown, fermented, and aged at the A.J. Fernandez factory, this stick is medium in body, offering an Ecuadorian Connecticut seed wrapper, along with robust, hand-selected Nicaraguan long filler. Notes of coffee, cedar, and nuts make this a perfect cigar for any time of day. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family-owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
The future is here at Turtle Bay Museum with Popnology, an immersive and interactive experience by Stage 9 Exhibitions that brings science fiction and science fact together like never before. Step up to an exact replica of the DeLorean time machine. Compare 1980s technology to today's smartphones. Discover the story behind the Mars rover and much more. Perfect for all ages. On exhibit now at Turtle Bay Museum. Discover this and more at turtlebay.org.
Ready to turn your dreams into reality? At Simpson University, we offer a private Christian education that enriches your academic journey with faith and purpose. Whether you're pursuing your undergraduate degree, completing your degree, or advancing through graduate studies, our dynamic programs, personalized mentorship, and vibrant community are here to support you. Discover how Simpson University can help you achieve your goals and grow spiritually. Visit simpsonu.edu today to learn more. Simpson University, where your potential is limitless.
Redding area homeowners, stop being told your only option for your old roof is to buy a new one. Actually, never re-roof it again. Redding, California's Diamond Coat Roof Restoration offers homeowners real, actual restoration that saves tens of thousands of dollars compared to replacements. At Diamond Coat, we offer best of class, American-made, high-performance, clear acrylic barrier systems that actually seal the shingles, lock in the granules, and protect your roof from NorCal's extreme weather. The Diamond Coat system is unique and also nothing like the vegetable oil-based restoration being sold in our area. This is an actual and visible barrier designed specifically to protect your shingle roof, not just make it look newer. These are hard times, and restoring your roof, over replacing it at a third of the cost, is without a doubt one of the best investments you can make in 2026. Call 530-941-9035. 530-941-9035 or visit www.diamond-coat.com.
At Stifel Nicolaus, I am committed to offering investors personalized investment guidance. Stifel is a full-service organization with departments staffed with professionals that specialize in a wide range of investment opportunities. We strive to give each account, regardless of size, careful individual attention. This is Financial Advisor Susan Eastman at 530-244-7199. Let's talk today about a personalized plan. Again, that number, 530-244-7199.
Welcome back, Free Fire Radio, here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl Lindebaugh, streaming live at kcnrradio.com. That's our website. You can go there and takes you to our programming. All of our local shows, ours and our other local shows, are archived. So if you didn't get all of this show, you can just go today about 9 o'clock and call it up and listen to the show. Archives are busy all the time. People are work or something, and they want to hear the show. So we afford that. You can actually listen to the very first show Linda and I ever did 16 years ago, almost 17. If you want to go through something like 385 pages, each individual page and switch to the next one. I don't know anybody that's done that. I wouldn't do it. But we are here with Michael Webb, who is the Assistant City Manager and Public Works Director. And we've been talking about, it's been interesting, very interesting, about the projects, the future, the airfields, the how everything fits together. And then also our budget and the team you brought in. And would you say this is almost like a forensic audit, what they're doing?
I'm not familiar with the term and what a forensic audit really
means. Well, I think it just means that somebody really coming in to look at how things work.
I mean, they were pretty detailed. Like Linda was talking about, we went through a number, our consultant went through a number of the documents, and, you know, they did look at a number of documents that we had. They multiple site visits, multiple interviews with staff, council members, executives, leadership team. I mean, so if that's really what a forensic audit is, then yeah, they did that. They reviewed hundreds of documents, and coordinated with multiple staff, multiple community members, really trying to wrap their arms around what's working well, what's not working well, where's their areas for improvement, all that type of stuff.
Okay. The Civic, you don't have to get in the weeds with this, but the Civic shutting down Saturday, I guess. And what should we be looking at now over the next few months?
Well, we're going to have the nation's 250th firework birthday party out there on Saturday.
Yeah, woohoo.
So looking forward to that. That'll be awesome. And hope to see everybody out there and celebrate all the freedoms that we have here in the United States. And then after that, obviously the facility itself is going to be closing. The city, through our community services department, will be picking up the maintenance and making sure that the temperature inside the building is appropriate so things don't break. Right,
that's
there are
great.
There are some things in there.
So you have to keep the HVAC going.
Yeah, you have to. You've got equipment and stuff. It can't get hot. It'll melt. Yep. It'll fry. There you go.
Even the security aspect of it, right? We'll pick those things up. And then the community services department is also working on a request for proposals right now to see if we can get an operator in to come in and run it. And so we're hopeful that will happen. And we're very thankful to Advance Reading, who provided years of outstanding shows and events out there and everything that they did for the community. So I definitely don't want to be remiss and forget to mention that. So RFP out there, hoping to get a new vendor. Or someone that can come in and provide those services for the community. I mean, it's a great asset, and hopefully we get somebody.
All right, so let's flash back to the airport. Peter Chu's.
Yes.
Well,
no,
Peter Chu's is a private
restaurant.
But
Peter Chu's, people
think.
Peter Chu's at the airport is part of like going to the airport. You know, so people just go to Peter Chu's. He wanted to retire. And so all of a sudden there's a new – who's in there now?
I don't know.
Okay, sorry.
Apologies.
No.
But I am a Peter Chew's regular. My wife and I lived down there. We were there on Saturday. We probably frequent there once a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but that's funny when you see something like that, that, oh, he's not there anymore. Well, then did he sell Chew's too? I wonder, that little restaurant.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Well, you guys have a fantastic website. I encourage everybody to go on to the cityofreading.gov because you can actually book flights from here. You've got every department with is going on to Reading. I mean, and it's a beautiful thing that you could send this to other people who are considering, you know, moving here. Just like, look at all the stuff we've got.
Yeah, no, thank you.
It's very
informing. You know, Reading has grown in a positive sense. I'm not talking especially like population, but things like the downtown and the entertainment zone.
Yeah.
And all that, the largest in California. But it seems like we're taking on a new ambiance down here. Is this registering in taxes and, you know, or sales tax and that kind of stuff? Or is that being seen yet?
I think it might be a little too early to say if we're seeing a spike in, you know, tax revenue from that, but we're definitely getting a lot of positive feedback from the downtown businesses. And I would say even from a number of the community members, you know, the city, again, way prior to me working here at the city, again, I'm a 3-year, you know, person with the city here. There's been plans for years, right, to redevelop downtown. And we're really seeing the, you know, the fruit of that right now with Public Market and a lot of the other businesses going in, the entertainment zone. Those are all exciting things, and it's really an opportunity, in my opinion, to do a lot of cool stuff downtown. You know, we've done the Pancake Breakfast and a whole slew of other events that I'm just failing to remember right now downtown, but this will give us the opportunity.
Yeah, there's a lot of the parades,
just a lot of really neat community events down there, and this is really going to give us the opportunity to bolster those and do them a little bit bigger, do them a little bit better. In the meantime, supporting, you know, local businesses, which is a big thing. So really excited about downtown. There's a downtown community business district group that we meet with pretty routinely.
Is that the Viva Downtown group?
Yeah, Viva's part of that. And try and meet with them.
Because they get their businesses together. In fact, we just got a notice on that. They're having one here. Or they just had one?
Yeah, Blake Fisher and John Truitt and those guys. They're great. And so love working with them. And like to get the feedback, right? That's really, really important. What's working well? What's not working? What can we do? How can we help? You know, and do everything that we can on the city side to support those local businesses. And that's definitely one of the things that we're prioritizing.
The got about 3 or 4 minutes left in this segment. What is the biggest obstacle we're looking at right now, say over the next 6 months to a year?
I think the biggest obstacle right now that we're working on is really getting our general fund expenditures in alignment with our updated revenue projections. And that's what City Manager Tarbo, Will, and I are working on. Like I mentioned, we're working with our consultant. We've completed phases 2 through 4 of the organizational assessment. So we're starting to run through that, dive through that, figure out what the next steps are, look at developing roadmaps to make some adjustments, and make sure we're providing the best levels of service possible that we can to the community with the general fund revenues that we have. And you know, really aligning the resources with the priorities of council and the community. That, in my opinion, it is an obstacle because it's not easy, right? I would describe it to most people as there's a number of competing priorities. Right, there's a lot of good things that we want to do, but there's a finite amount of resources, and so prioritizing those, working with council, Will, the community, and making sure we're doing the things that we want to do as a community, or that we have to do by statute, that's very, very important. So that to me is the priority right now that Will and I are spending a lot of our time on.
The Iron Man coming in. Huge. I mean, even the Reading Rodeo, we're getting involved with it by opening our clubhouse and other things.
Yeah. 2,500 people.
Yeah, for a week.
Contestants, but.
Well, you've got like 15 to 1,800 contestants right now.
Contestants.
And it's not even, or competitors.
Competitors,
And that doesn't include their support teams. And I've heard of estimates of like $10 million coming through during this week.
Yeah, we're hearing those numbers as well, and we're really excited to host or, you know, be a host venue for the Ironman. It's one of the things, in my opinion, that's awesome about, you know, this part of the state, Redding, Far NorCal, the river, the mountains, just a really beautiful part of the state. I think the Ironman event's going to be great. And I think a lot of the stuff that we've done downtown, the Sundial Bridge, you know, we've really bolstered those things and put us in a position where we can be a host venue for Ironman events. So really excited about that for sure.
Well, you know what, that's not the only, you know, that's huge. And then Cool April Nights is huge. Rodeo is huge.
Yes.
As far as bringing people in, the amount of money they spend. There's other events. I mean, this Ironman, I don't think it's registered on them how big this is yet, but they will on that week.
Set on August 16th.
It's a Sunday, but we're going to have all these people here and stand by. Those bike lanes are going to be full. And grocery stores have got to add more food. I mean, they've literally, we were talking to the guy, a small town, they sold out their grocery stores from all these people coming in. So it's that kind of, that's that kind of size. I'm not going to ask you this now because we've got to go to a break, but what other kind of events are we just naturals for? Just, I'm going to ask you that. I mean, and give you 3 minutes to think about it.
Okay.
And thanks. We'll be right back.
Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection. Crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room with bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life.
Premier Oil Change is celebrating 20 years of our friendly oil changes. A lot has changed in 20 years, but our commitment to fast, friendly, excellent service has remained the same. To celebrate our 20th birthday, we're offering $20 off any oil change. All you have to do is go to our website at premieroilchange.com and receive your gift. In Redding, check out our new location at 905 East Cypress. Discount also available at our Lake Boulevard, Anderson, and Palisader locations.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Hello, my name is Lindsay Myers. I am the president and CEO of Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Thank you to Redding Rancheria for all of their support and partnership over the years.
Hi, I'm Heather Kellenhofer, president of NorCal Breast Cancer Connection, continuing the legacy of NorCal St. Pete. We would like to express our sincere gratitude to Redding Rancheria for all the support over the years.
Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Alan Gordon, Coach Master Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Turtle Bay's glowing wild and illuminated Wildlife Lantern Festival is back and better than ever for 2026 at the Sundial Bridge in Redding, California.
Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with larger-than-life displays of plants and animals from around the world.
Including dinosaurs and icons from ancient Egypt.
Jump on the new Turtle Express for a fun ride through the show.
Glowing Wild is May 1st through June 28th, 7 to 10 p.m. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
Shasta County. Tired of filtered news? Welcome to Shasta Unfiltered,
your trusted online newspaper for the North State. Straight facts on Reading politics, city council moves, local events, and the national stories that actually hit your wallet, like federal funding changes and job trends right here at home. No agenda, no paid spin disguised as news. Just honest reporting and the stories you need. Visit ShastaUnfiltered.com. Your community reported right.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bot. Our guest today is Michael Webb, Assistant City Manager and Public Works Director, and we've talked about a lot of information has just flowed out of here, and Linda keeps going back to the website, the Reading City of Reading website. There is tons of information on there about planning, projects, and all of this. What haven't I asked you that you want people to know, Michael?
Well, that's a great question, Carl. Thank you. We touched on the budget stuff, and I think the big thing there is that there is a path that Will and I are going down where I think we can get this fixed and in a healthy spot and move on from that. So I think that's a good message to get out there, is that we can do that. It's not insurmountable. I think from an infrastructure component, the city of Reading, pretty large space. We're about 61 square miles, so we have a lot of infrastructure when we compare ourselves to other cities around our same population. So that generally means a lot more pavement, a lot more water line, a lot more sewer line, a lot more electrical line. So there's a lot of stuff to maintain and a lot of stuff out there. And so here in the Public Works Department, one of the hats I wear, as you mentioned earlier, we're really going to try and transition to looking at asset management and trying to time improvements to where we don't go repave a road and then rip it up 6 months later for some underground utilities or something else, and really start taking a wholesale look at not only our own capital projects, but the projects that are completed by private projects or others, and try and time those things so we're not stepping on each other. Now, that's way easier said than actually accomplished, but we're working on it, and it's one of the main things within the Public Works Engineering team that we're going to focus on in the years to come, because believe it or not, I do get a lot of questions about potholes and the conditions of our roadways.
I'm surprised there wasn't a phone call about that today.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of streets to maintain, and our streets crew, they've been, you know.
Well, 61 square miles of roads.
Well, we have 61 square miles within the city limits, and if I remember the numbers correctly, so don't quote me on this, I may have to go fact check it. I want to say we have 500 lane miles of roads.
Wow.
So we have a lot.
Wow.
And so the streets crew, they generally spend a month or so each summer doing some, I'm going to call it maintenance paving, because really we're talking about paving just a very thin lift, maybe a half inch or so.
Sure.
And then the rest of the time they're fixing potholes, downed signs, damaged guardrails, sidewalks, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously pavement is first and foremost. Everybody sees it every day. They use it. And we are out there, you know, filling potholes as fast as we can. We try to do that ahead of winter time, because obviously when it's wet, it's a lot harder to do that, and they don't stay. You can't put something in a hole that's full of water and expect it to stay very long. Mm-hmm. So we try and get in front of that.
Do you, people don't think realize that Caltrans controls a lot of the streets down here in Reading. Is that correct?
That is correct. So, Market Street. State Highway 273.
What about California Street down here?
That's 273 as well,
okay.
Right? So 273, State Route 273 begins in Anderson, where it pops off of I-5.
Yeah.
And then it heads north through Reading, through Anderson, the county, and then Reading, and then ties back into I-5 up near Twinview. And so that is our
all market. Of this is Caltrans.
That's a state highway. Yep.
And they come in and they do things also.
That is
hopefully true. In coordination with you all.
Yeah, we have a pretty good relationship with Caltrans. I started
when
there.
When communicating.
Yes. I started there in 2005, so we a lot of good connections with the Caltrans team.
That's good. You know, people also don't realize when you're seeing all these, all of a sudden, new bike trails, like when they just redid California Street in this strange kind of configuration that they done. That's a Caltrans project. That wasn't a city of Reading, was it?
Well, it was actually a city project with Caltrans partnership. And it is a different project for the non-bike experts. That's a cycle track, right? And so that was a big deal. There are not very many cycle tracks in the
cycle
state
track
on a one-way street. And, I can nerd out a little bit with my engineering hat, but
that
becomes a big deal when you get to the traffic signals, because the signals are all programmed and phased to operate a one-way street, but you have a cycle track that is a two-way facility. So that presented a lot of operational challenges at those traffic signals to make sure that when the lights turn, you know, red, yellow, green for certain movements, that they're not conflicting with the cycle track. So we worked pretty. A cycle track.
What is that?
So picture it's there's striping and bicycles can go both directions.
Okay.
And there's a lane for a northbound bike and a lane for a southbound bicyclist.
Okay.
Well, let me
tell
you, I go to Pilates over here, by Theory Coffee, and come around that corner, I was wondering how many people don't hit their car on that curb, because you're so used to doing a tight right when you turn, and now you have to do a wide because of those lanes.
Yeah.
You have to relearn, and not just going automatic with some of these new lanes that are downtown.
Yeah.
I'd like to see more bikes in them, because you don't see very many.
We're working on that. A big part of the plan is to try and provide connectivity to all the cool stuff that we have, right? We have our River Trail network. We've got the Sundial Bridge. We've got the downtown. And so trying to provide that connectivity and doing it in the right way, that's really the goal of working with Caltrans.
But haven't you all connected it now, pretty much?
We're pretty close. A lot of it's been built. A lot of it's connected. But there's a few other fingers that we would like to provide that connectivity to. The struggle, and that may not be the best word, but the struggle is to do it within the right context for the community. And I get a lot of comments from, you know, avid bicyclist users that want a whole lot more, and I get a lot of comments from avid folks that don't bicycle, that maybe drive, you know, drive vehicles predominantly. And so trying to find that balance that meets the user expectation for both those user groups, that is really the challenge that we work on here in the traffic engineering group.
Do you all ever do like studies about how many bicyclists use these lanes?
We have some bicycle trip data. We work with Ann Thomas, who's been a great partner of ours with Shasta Leading Streets. We work with her pretty extensively. She's got the bike share program and other things.
She used to come on. We haven't seen her in a long time.
Might be good to have her. She's great.
Things have changed a lot.
Good partner with us, a good data point. So she helps get that data. We also work with Shasta Regional Transportation Agency, so that's Sean Tejan and his team over at CERTA. And so we try and share resources and data to make sure that we're, you know, planning for, designing, and then building the right stuff at the right spot, which is a whole lot easier said than done.
When they were doing they were out here surveying Market Street. Is Market Street set? They told us in a couple years they're going to come through here, and we may lose sidewalks for a while.
Yeah, Caltrans has a very large pavement maintenance project that's going to hit 273 or, you know, California and Pine Street and then Market, right? So we're coordinating with them pretty extensively as well right now, because as you mentioned earlier, right, this is the state's highway that happens to be our main street. So there's a lot of coordination in there. And we're working pretty closely with them. I might add from my time at Caltrans, I worked on projects all over California, and a lot of the projects were pretty rural in nature. You know, you might be 299 out in the middle of nowhere highway. The city projects a lot of times are almost your hardest projects you could ever have as a civil engineer, because if you rip up Market Street like we're talking about right here, it's lined with businesses up and down both sides, and the project can have huge implications to all those businesses, and it becomes very, very difficult to plan and stage the project to where a contractor can actually come in, effectively build the project, and give you a product that meets standards that's going to last a long time, but that it works with the local businesses and allows them to stay open and people come and go. That is a huge challenge of a lot of these downtown projects, and takes a lot of working together with the businesses, the design staff, and Caltrans to make sure everybody's on board with the plan. And frankly, a lot of flexibility when we do get into construction as well, because anybody that's done a home remodel knows that once you rip some stuff up, there's going to be things that we find that we didn't know about that we're going to have to deal with. And so it's going to be an awesome project when it's done, but there are going to be some pain points along the way. And I'm hoping that we can work through those together and find a way to keep have a loop with the businesses and Caltrans so that as those happen, we can keep everything moving.
Okay. Michael Webb, Assistant City Manager and Public Works Director. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure.
Lots of information out there. Tomorrow, Reading Police Department is going to join us. I'm Brian Barner, as we talked about, retired today. And Linda said he's got his horse trailer already hooked up, and he's heading for Wyoming.
Brian, have a good one.
For a few
Thank
months.
Thank you.
So,
for your dedication,
Michael, thanks
buddy.
A lot. Thanks a lot for everything that you all and our city employees do. Sometimes, you know, we don't understand everything that's going on.
So,
you really cleared up a lot.
Some great insight today. Thank you.
Yep.
My pleasure.
Everybody have a great day. It's going to be 95, so be careful out there, and God bless America.
Dragging me down, gonna stand.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.